Information, please. Presented each week at this time by Canada Dry, famous the world over for its fine beverages. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Information, please, is devised for the purpose of giving the American public a break. Each Tuesday night at this time, we assemble four experts, and we invite you to torment them, trip them up, and otherwise make their lives miserable by firing questions at them that they cannot answer. Now listen carefully, because we will not repeat this announcement during this broadcast. You send us questions on any subjects with the correct answers. You may submit from 1 to 3 original questions per letter. If your question is used, you receive $5 and $10 additional if it stumps the board. So you may win $15 in all. Don't get bothered if our editorial staff changes or edits your question slightly. All questions become the property of Information, Please. Letters with questions are to be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. And now here's our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like you to remember that Information, Please is as unpredictable as tomorrow's newspaper and as spontaneous as a baby. Our board of experts tonight is evenly divided into 50% veterans or old hand raisers and 50% innocent newcomers. The veterans, of course, are the famous columnist of the New York Post, Mr. Franklin P. Adams, and the equally renowned animated library and filing cabinet, Mr. John Kieran. As for the newcomers, one of them is a former professor of mine, who for 4 years during my college days asked me questions I couldn't answer. It's taken a lot of maneuvering, but I finally got him here on the wrong side of the fence tonight, and I am very glad to welcome, in my own special way, the noted author of Philosopher's Holiday and other books, whose regular job is acting as professor of philosophy at Columbia University, the genial Dr. Irwin Edmund. Our second newcomer and special guest of honor is that delightful actress, monologist, and humorous writer, Cornelia Otis Skinner. This distinguished star will temporarily forsake her one-woman show and star in her own production of George Bernard Shaw's Candida, which will open in Chicago late in January. And now, my learned quartet, if you are ready, remember to raise your hands if you know the answer or think you do. And if you miss an answer, Canada Dry rings up $10 on the cash register. And that $10 goes out to the lucky questioner. All ready? Here we go. The first question, coming to us from Mrs. Clara Miles of Meriden, Connecticut, is a question associated with numbers. What is commonly associated with each of these 5 numbers? And you must get the answer right 4 out of 5 times. The first one's awfully easy. 48. Mr. Adams.
States in the Union.
States in the Union. Quite correct. 98.6. Mr. Adams.
Normal temperature of the human body.
Yes. That's quite right. 366. 366, Mr. Kieran.
Days in a leap year.
Days in a leap year. 435.
Skip that and come back to
No, Mrs. Miles is waiting for that one. All right, we'll call that wrong. The answer is the total number of representatives making up Congress. You should know that. Yeah. They seem like more sometimes, but they're only 435. And fifth and last, 1939. Mr. Kieran.
The new year.
Yes, which is what Information, Please, and Canada Dry wish all those who are listening in. Well, we got 4 out of 5 on that. The next question comes all the way from San Francisco from Mr. J. Collins. Mr. Collins wants you to give a colloquial or slang expression which suggests the popular conception of each of the following philosophies. There are 4 of them, and you have to get 4 out of 4. Now remember, a slang expression which suggests the popular conception of each of the following philosophies. 1, Stoic. Stoic. Dr. Edmund.
I can take it.
Very good, Dr. Edmund. I hope none of your students are listening in. 2, Skeptic. Skeptic. Miss Skinner.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, very good. Had you thought of another one, Mr. Adams?
No, that was mine.
You're sure you didn't lend that to Miss Skinner under the table. 3, Platonic. Platonic. Mr. Kieran.
I didn't know it was loaded.
Don't quite see that. Don't quite see that one. I'd like to get another one on platonic. Miss Skinner, did you have an alternative?
I was going to say, I'd like to be a sister to you, but I'm afraid that's not...
No, that's quite good. Yes, can't I be a sister to you, or can't we be friends? That would be, would you accept that,
I
Dr.
think it's
Edmund?
Worse to be a sister somehow.
Yes. Would that be right, Dr. Edmund, as a...
As a popular conception.
Yes, as a popular conception. And fourth and last, cynic. Cynic. A slang phrase which would give us the popular conception of what a cynic is. Miss Skinner?
Says you.
Says you would be good. So what? Yes, there's a sucker born every minute. Do any of you remember that famous definition of a cynic from Oscar Wilde?
This is kitchen cynic?
I beg pardon? No, not a kitchen cynic. Ordinary cynic. Mr. Edmund?
Cynic is one who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing.
Very good. Very good. That's quite correct. Knows his Oscar Wilde, too. All right, that's 4 out of 4. See if we can't get them down. Canada Dry hasn't lost any money so far. The next question comes from this city, from Miss Beulah Vogel. Deals with crimes.
Crimes.
What crime was committed by each of the following literary characters? I'm going to ask you to get 5 out of 5 on this. The first is Danny Deever. What crime did Danny Deever commit? Miss Skinner had her hand up first.
He shot a comrade sleeping.
Very good. Very good. From what poem?
From Danny Deever by Kipling.
Very good, Miss Skinner. Thank you. To Clyde Griffiths. Clyde Griffiths. Mr. Adams had his hand up first.
Clyde Griffiths murdered a girl up in New York State.
Mm-hmm. From what book is it?
Well, An American Tragedy.
Yes, by whom?
Theodore Dreiser.
Pulling teeth to get that out of Mr. Adams. We got it. You're so coy, Mr. Adams. You really know these things. 3, Captain Blood. Captain Blood. Captain Blood. Like to take a chance on that, Miss Skinner?
I know the book, but I don't know what crime he did.
You read the book, but don't know what crime?
No, I didn't read the book, but I own it.
That's a plug, Miss Skinner. Oh, you're that
by
girl
Sabatini.
Who has a book we've heard about.
It has a lovely cover. It's by Sabatini.
That's all delightful, but it will not answer the question. I'm sorry.
I know. I really didn't...
Do you retire in humiliation?
I do.
All right. Any of the rest of you like to guess at that? Mr. Chairman, love
you. You stabbed a man in a duel.
Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. What self-confidence, Mr. Chairman? And how ill-founded. Now, the answer is piracy. The crime of Captain Blood was piracy, which you might possibly have gathered from the very title. For Mrs. Annie Arden. Mrs. Annie Arden. Arden, A-R-D-E-N. Mr. Kieran.
Bigamy.
Bigamy is correct. Want to explain your answer?
She was the wife of Enoch Arden.
Yes, and of another man.
Yes, Philip, do I have to... That isn't in the bond.
No, that's not in the bond. Philip Ray, I'll supply it for you free of charge. That's quite right. Married to both of them at the same time. And 5, Tom. T-O-M. Tom. Miss Skinner.
He peeped. Peeping Tom.
Oh, that may be the Tom you know, Miss Skinner. I would not consider peeping a crime, Miss Skinner. A misdemeanor, but not a crime.
He was blinded, right?
Theft. Mr. Adams. Yes, theft. What did he steal?
A pig.
Yes.
And away he runs.
Yes, you give that free of charge. Well, we got 4 out of 5 on that, but Miss Vogel wants 5 out of 5. That's going to cost Canada Dry $10. Thank you. The next question from Miss Virginia Strang of Cleveland, Ohio. What are the stock remarks made by the following characters in the old 10th, 23rd melodramas? Now, I'm going to ask you to give these stock remarks with expression or not at all, ladies and gentlemen. What does the irate father say? Mr. Adams.
Never darken my door again.
Absolutely correct, Mr. Adams. 2, the villain. What does the villain say? Mr. Kieran's awfully good at villain. Mr. Adams again.
Why do you fear me, Nellie?
See, Mr. Adams, I remember that, Adams. I remember that one. Why is it always Nellie? Always one.
Because it is out of Nellie the Beautiful Cloak Model.
Is there really is a play called Nellie the Beautiful Cloak Model? I thought that was a joke. All right. The hero. What does the hero say? Miss Skinner.
Saved by the right arm of the backwoodsman.
That's a nice one. That's one I never heard of. It sounds very nice.
I think my father may have said that once.
It's quite possible. And what finally does the heroine say? Mr. Kieran.
Darling.
All right, Mr. Kieran. The one that I learned when I was in school is rags are royal raiment when worn for virtue's sake. Don't you remember that, Mr. Kieran?
Yes, sir.
All right. 4 out of 4. The next one from Denver, Colorado, from Mr. R. George. I'm going to read you an 8-line poem. I'm going to ask you to identify it for me. Here's the poem. In winter, when the fields are white, over the hills and far away, she was a phantom of delight, and finds too late that men betray. Thou deep and dark blue ocean roll, when early falls the dew, I am the captain of my soul, and a right good captain too. Now, can you identify that poem, Mr. Kieran, all at once?
No, sir, if you'll read them line by line, I'll...
Very good. Mr. Kieran caught on to it. The poem, of course, is made up of 8 lines from 8 separate poems, and you have to identify each line separately. The first line is, in winter, when the fields are white. Mr. Kieran.
That comes from Alice in Wonderland.
Not quite. It's Through the Looking Glass.
Oh,
I think I'll let that go. Mayn't I, radio audience? Yes, I hear you saying yes. We'll let it go. Through the Looking Glass is quite right. The second line, over the hills and far away. Mr. Edmund.
W.E. Henley.
Over the hills and far away. From what poem of Henley's was it, Mr. Edmund?
Well, I just know
it's
that.
It's the refrain to a ballad of Henry, of Henley.
Is it really?
It is.
Are you sure that you boys haven't gotten together on this?
No, we'll look it up.
I don't remember it from Henley. I'm going to accept that unless I find that you're wrong. Actually, it's traceable to a poem somewhat older than that. Mr. Kieran.
Well, it's from Tennyson's Sleeping Princess.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right. This confuses me completely. That tune you were.
What you're thinking of is the only tune that he could play was Over the Hills and Far Away.
That's another one. That's not the one I was thinking of, Mr. Adams. That's
I
three.
Think it was.
The one I was thinking of is a song from the Beggar's Opera by John Gay, in which that is the refrain or part of the refrain. But we have 4 answers to this question. Never expected to get one out of it. The third line, she was a phantom of delight. And Mr. Kieran?
Wordsworth.
Yes, from what point? Think hard.
Well, besides the springs of dove or something.
Oh,
like
no.
That.
Mr. Adams.
When first she beamed upon my sight.
Oh, no. No, the answer is simply she was a phantom of delight. That's the name of the poem, too. See how easy it is? Just trust yourself, that's all. Throw away your water wings, boy. 4, and finds too late that men betray. Miss Skinner.
Goldsmith.
Yes.
When lovely woman stoops to folly.
Quite right. And where does the poem appear?
Is it in the Vicar of Wakefield?
Yes, in the Vicar of Wakefield. Thank you very much, Miss Skinner. That's quite correct. 5, thou deep and dark blue ocean roll. Thou deep and dark blue ocean roll, Mr. Adams.
Sounds like Byron.
Yes, that's right. You sniffed out Byron, didn't you? And what poem is it from?
I don't know.
Well, I think I'll let Byron go. From Childe Harold's Pilgrimage, famous poem by Lord Byron. 6th line, when early falls the dew. Mr. Kieran has his hand up first.
From Annie Laurie.
Yes, from Annie Laurie. Who wrote it?
Well, there's some dispute about who wrote that, as a matter of fact.
Don't quarrel with me. There is no dispute about it. Yes, it's attributed to Lady Scott, I believe,
that's
and
right.
to a man named W. Douglas. Is that right,
that's
Mr. Kieran?
Right.
It's very satisfactory, and Mr. Adams nods his head, too. Very friendly party this evening. 7, I am the captain of my soul. Miss Skinner.
Henley's Invictus.
Henley's Invictus is quite right. And a right good captain, too, Mr. Edmund.
W.S. Gilbert.
That's right. And what,
Pinafore.
Pinafore is quite right. Well, among the 4 of them, they got all of those 8 lines which make up this very odd poem. Next question. From Miss Rosemarie Aloisio of New York City. Now, here is a question in which our Canada Dry expert, Mr. Cross, is going to exhibit his versatility. He's going to sing for us this evening, and I want you to note, ladies and gentlemen, that it's Canada Dry that gives the sparkle to his voice and also gives it that liquid tone, Mr. Cross. Now, he's going to sing parts of arias from 4 famous operas. And I'm going to ask you to identify the operas. If you can identify the arias in addition, that's all the better. But I'll merely ask for the opera. Is your voice all set, Mr. Cross?
Just singing La La to them.
Yes, La La will do. All right, let's have number 1.
La la, la la, la la, la la, la la, la la.
Fans,
la, la, la.
Miss Skinner?
It's from Tosca. It's Scarpia's.
Yes, it's from Tosca. E lucevan, is le lucevan, le stelle, is it?
I don't know.
The stars are shining. Is that right, Miss Cross? Stars are shining. All right, the second one. Second aria.
La, 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 la.
Dr. Edmund?
The prize song from the Meistersinger.
Thank you, Dr. Edmund. That's quite right. Third. Miss Skinner?
Samson and Delilah.
Yes, and what's the aria called, you know?
Mon cœur ouvre ta voix.
Yes, I didn't expect to get it in French. That's complimentary and extra. My heart of thy sweet voice in English. Samson and Delilah of Saint-Saëns. And fourth and last. Mr. Adams.
That's from Lucia di Lammermoor.
Yes, who wrote it?
Donizetti.
Donizetti, and it's, what's the aria known as?
Sextet.
A sextet. I think Mr. Cross did it very well for a single man. All right, 4 out of 4. I think that's pretty good, considering that no one of these 4 experts this evening is a musical authority per se. I know that Dr. Edmund and Miss Skinner hear a lot of music, but they are a philosopher and an actress, respectively. Now, so far, we have lost, Canada Dry has lost only $10, which is not good enough for me. We'll see what we can do after Mr. Cross, our expert on Canada Dry, has his say.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. Many of our friends have commented on what a happy coincidence it is that Canada Dry sponsors Information Please. For Canada Dry Ginger Ale has all the sparkle of the spontaneous wit and humor heard on this program and all the real pleasure that goes with good radio entertainment. And I'm the expert who is ready to tell you why Canada Dry Ginger Ale has so much sparkle and gives so much pleasure. So from time to time, I'm going to relate the story of Canada Dry, the growing of the finest ginger in Jamaica, purchased by our own resident buyer, the bottling under our own secret process in the most modern plants, scientifically controlled by graduate chemists. For we believe that when you buy Canada Dry Ginger Ale, you want to know why it is one of the finest beverages on the market today. Why it supplies quick energy, refreshes inwardly, and aids digestion. In other words, why Canada Dry Ginger Ale is gingervating.
Thanks, Mr. Cross. Our Canada Dry expert made it in exactly 56 questions. And now we'll go on with a question based on the news of last year. This question comes from Mr. H. Robinson of New Orleans, Louisiana. What front page news event of the year 1938, you remember 1938, Mr. Adams, don't you, is brought to mind by each of the following? I'm going to read 5 phrases, and you have to tell me what 4 out of 5 of them bring to your mind. The first phrase is, fractured transverse process, third lumbar vertebrae. I hardly know what it means, much less what it calls to mind. Mr. Kieran.
Max Schmeling had one of those little items.
That's right. That's right. It's the injury sustained by Schmeling when he was knocked out by Joe Lewis. How do you happen to remember that, Mr. Kieran?
Well, my son had one from football.
Oh, I see. Just a family association. 2, report and consultation. What does the phrase report and consultation mean to you? Mr. Adams.
It might have been the illness of James Roosevelt.
Well, it
they
might have been.
They made a report on it and they had a consultation.
They did. They had both. That's quite true. But I don't think that phrase was used particularly with respect to that. No, the... Mr. Kieran.
Calling back Ambassador Dodd from abroad.
You got the right recall, but the wrong ambassador.
Well,
Give me another ambassador and I'll let
Kennedy.
You know. No,
well,
no.
Hugh Wilson.
Pick another ambassador. Mr. Edmund?
Hugh Wilson.
Yes. Well, I really think I ought to count you wrong on that. Mr.
Edmund
came to bat.
I can't keep these ambassadors straight.
It is hard to keep them straight. President Roosevelt recalled Ambassador Hugh Wilson from Germany, you remember, and for report and consultation, a phrase used constantly in the newspapers. What
I had the family right.
I beg pardon?
I had the family right.
Yes, you had the family right, yes. Mr. Adams, thank you. The third one, 17 oil companies. What does the phrase 17 oil companies bring to mind? Mr. Adams.
Mexico.
Yes. Want to tell us a little bit more about Mexico?
No, that's all I know.
That's all you know about Mexico is Mexico. Mr. Kieran, perhaps you can help us out.
Mexico took possession, expropriated, I believe, is the...
Yes?
Good work.
Their possessions, oil lands, wells, and apparatus.
Yes, 17 oil companies were expropriated. United States oil companies and also British. Count that right. What does the phrase 9-year-old crate ring to mind? Mr. Kier.
The crate in which Mr. Corrigan flew backward forward.
That's right. That's quite right. And fifth and last, poultry racket. Now be careful on this. Poultry racket. Mr. Kieran again.
In the trial of Jimmy Hines.
Yes?
A question was asked by Mr. Dewey, which led to the declaring of a mistrial by the presiding judge.
Yes, and the question had to do with the phrase poultry racket. That's right. Absolutely right, Mr. Kieran. Very good, I think. It's a case of Mr. Dewey losing on a foul. Well, we got 4 out of 5, correct? Don't like that one, eh? You do better. The next question comes from Miss Virginia McDaniel of Los Angeles, California. She wants you to quote at least 2 lines following those given of each of the following soliloquies. I'm going to read just the first line, and you'll have to follow it up with 2 or more. These all come from Shakespeare. 1. All the world's a stage. Miss Skinner?
And all the men and women merely players.
Yes, you have to give us another line or two.
They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his life plays many parts, his life being 7 ages.
Very good indeed. Thank you so much, Miss Skinner. Very well done. 2. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ear. Miss Skinner knows that. Miss Skinner, do you know that one?
I don't know any more than that. Don't
say a word if you don't know it. Mr. Adams.
I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him.
And the next line. We usually can get Mr.
That's
Adams.
That's why I pulled down my hand.
The good that men do lives after them.
Take another virtue. Or rather, let me have the opposite of good, and you'll be all right.
The evil.
Yes, the evil that men do lives after them. The good is often turreted with their bones. Very good. Now, the third is the hardest of all, I think. Speak the speech, I pray you. Speak the speech, I pray you. Mr. Adams?
Trippingly on the tongue.
That's one of the phrases that follows that phrase. Not enough. You usually
as
stop
I gave
the fifth
it to
word,
you.
Don't you?
As I gave it to you.
Not quite. Not quite. If anyone can amend that and get it quite correct, I'll allow it. No? Then I'll have to give it to you
then
myself.
Then comes I had as lief the town crier mouth my lines.
Yes, you're getting it in sections. At least we can put that together like a meccano set, Mr. Adams. Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounced it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it, as many of your players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. I think I can only give you half credit on that.
You didn't ask for the uncut Hamlet, Mr. Fadiman.
I beg pardon?
You didn't ask for the uncut Hamlet.
Oh, I should have asked for the uncut Hamlet, yes. Well, that's 2 out of 3, and that's going to cost Canada Dry $10 going out to Miss McDaniel. Thank you. Let's try a question now based on old-time songs. This comes from Mr. A. Austin of Boston. He wants you to answer the following questions about old-time songs. There are 4 of them, and you have to get 3 out of 4. In the song, For He's a Jolly Good Fellow, why did the bear go over the mountain? Mr. Kieran.
To see the other side.
Yes, to see what he could see, which was the other side of the mountain. Very good. In the song, Hinky Dinky Parley-Voo, why did the 2 German officers cross the Rhine? Mr. Kieran, aren't you a veteran?
I didn't get up to the Rhine.
Sorry. The answer is to kiss the women and drink the wine, which you might have guessed, Mr. Kieran, as a matter of fact.
Ours is all about our adjutant.
Not on the air.
Oh, yes, we are. Now, the 3rd one, in the song Call Me Up Some Rainy Afternoon, what did the girl promise when she asked the boy to call her up some rainy afternoon? Mr. Adams, I'm sure knows that.
The rhyme I know is spoon, but that's all I know about it.
You ought to be able to fill that in, Mr. Adams, from your own imagination.
I don't know how
that's
that
the tune. I'll arrange for a quiet little spoon. Now, I want you to remember that next time, Mr. Adams. In the song, She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain, what did they say they would do when she came round the mountain? What did they say they would do when she came round the mountain?
I'm sorry. The answer is we will kill the old red rooster. We will kill the old red rooster, and we'll all have chicken dumplings when she comes. Well, that's 3 wrong out of 4, and that's going to cost Canada Dry $10. Thank you. Now, the next question is a sort of hands-across-the-sea one. Comes from Mr. J. Stockton of Toronto, Canada. Give the British equivalent of each of the following American terms. First, men's garters. Mr. Adams.
Sock suspenders.
Very good. A run in a stocking. Miss Skinner.
A ladder.
A ladder is quite right. A highball. Mr. Edmund.
A whiskey and soda.
Yes, and sometimes they leave out the and when they want to be particularly smart, don't they?
They say whiskey and Schweppes.
Whiskey and Schweppes?
They sometimes say quick one.
Whiskey soda.
Whiskey soda, they do say. For, bouncer. Bouncer. Mr. Kieran.
A chucker out.
A chucker out. And American children call a locomotive a choo-choo, don't they? What do English children call a locomotive when they're feeling affectionate?
I've heard one call it a traction engine.
That, a progressive school child. No, no, the answer would be a puff-puff. They call it a puff-puff. Isn't that quaint and cute? A puff-puff. Well, let's see. I don't think we'll have time for very many more questions. So far, we've lost $30. I'm afraid that's all we have time for tonight. In a moment, I'll be giving you the lineup for next week. But in the meantime, Mr. Milton Cross has a word to say.
Now I'm going to tell you how you can get your game of Information, Please, by mail. First, we assume that since everyone enjoys the good things of life, you already have a few bottles of Canada Dry ginger ale or other Canada Dry beverages at home. If not, your neighborhood store is always ready to send you some. Now, listen closely to these simple directions. Remove the large labels from 2 bottles of any of Canada Dry's many beverages. These labels are glued only on 2 edges. You'll find it's a simple matter to tear off enough of the label so it can be identified easily. Then mail your piece of labels and 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York. If you live in Canada, the address is Canada Dry, Toronto, Canada. The Information Please game, containing enough questions for 4 typical programs, is one of the solutions to your entertaining problem. So send for your copy tonight. And by all means, don't forget to include your own name and address.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cross. And now, if I may, let me announce our board for next week at the same time. Our 2 regulars, John Kieran and Franklin P. Adams, of course, we cannot dispense with, and they'll be here again. And our semi-regular, Mr. Oscar Levant, will be back in his seat, or at the piano, or wherever he seems most necessary. And this is a very special announcement. Our guest of honor, by overwhelming popular request, will be that incomparable raconteur and star of radio, stage, screen, and literature, Alexander Wolcott. Now remember, ladies and gentlemen, letters with questions are to be addressed to Information, Please, Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. All questions become the property of Information, Please.
Canada Dry ginger ale, sparkling water, lime Ricky, and Tom Collins mixer come in convenient-sized bottles for every occasion. These exceptionally fine beverages are economical, too, for the largest bottle, the family size, costs only 15 cents plus usual deposits. And now we bid you all good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.